is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Please, we'll start with one song and then we'll have favorites for the rest of the night. 415, Oh, I Want to See Him. Let's stand as we sing together. 415.
As I journey,
that you're here this morning. This morning in our auditorium we had 37 visitors. Now we may have had more with the children. We haven't got the final count yet. So nearly 40 visitors in church this morning. We praise the Lord for that. And they got a clear presentation of the gospel. So please be in prayer as we follow up in the days ahead. Well, we're going to have our ushers come. We'll take up this evening's offering. And as they're coming, let me mention this. Tonight we're not going to have the Nets meeting. We're going to push that back a week. We have so much food left over that we're just going to put it out again. We didn't clean up the tables this morning or the chairs. We're going to put the food back out and encourage you to come over and have some fellowship and eat until you're full, all right? So please come over. We'll have some coffee. We have lots of cake and all the fruit and all those things are left over from this morning. And it'll be a wonderful time together after the service tonight, all right? So let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our service. And Brother Jim Wood, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you this time for coming to your house. Praise your name. We pray that you deserve the Lord and honor and glorify you.
Amen. right, we're going to have a couple favorites tonight before Pastor Strachan comes to sing. Let's have a favorite. Who's got one? All right, go ahead, Brother Forth. 446. Remember, we don't play Stump the Preacher. 446. We'll sing the first and the last verse, Be Thou My Vision. You can remain seated for a few of these tonight. 446.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my
person in the room. We'll let you pick your favorite. Anybody here over 90? Anybody over 90 years old? Mom, keep your hand down on this one, all right? I can't play favorites. Anybody over 85? Raise your hand if you're over 85. If you're willing to, Miss Britton. Anybody else? All right, Miss Britton, what's your favorite? You're the only brave soul here. We know others that lie, but what's your favorite hymn? The Bible stands. That's a good one. Let's sing that. And we better stand as well. The Bible stands. And 178.
The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the rain.
All right, who's been saved the longest? Known the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody been saved for more than 60 years? More than 60 years. Anybody? Miss Britton again? All right, we got a few more. All right, more than 65 years? Doreen. All right. Oh, Mrs. Spong. 66 years? How many years, Mrs. Spong? 10 years of age, and you're 52 now. So, 74 years. Praise the Lord. We're going to give that to you. What's your favorite hymn? Oh, did you? All right, well, then we'll go to Doreen. How many years, Doreen? Okay. Okay, so 68 years. All right, what's your favorite hymn? No, I don't think so. You think about it, we'll come back to you, all right? Who's been married the longest? Get your hymn ready, Doreen. Who's been married more than 60 years? Anybody married more than 60 years? Did I see a hymn back there? Oh, the Spongs again. Wow. You're wearing us out. We'll go around then, okay? Anybody else over 60 years? 59 years? Oh, right down here, the Clavers. Okay. 60 years. All right, what's your favorite hymn, Mrs. Claver? 521. All right. Let's sing 521. Doreen, we'll come back to you. All right. 521. I wish I had given him more. 521.
By and by, when I look on his face,
He lives. 142. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Then we'll have Pastor Strachan come and sing a couple for us tonight. Because he lives.
Thank you.
Well, we are glad to have Pastor Strachan with us. We'll have him come and sing it this time.
Well, I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. There's just no fear, no doubt, there's no worry, and there's no care. You see, it's not that I deserve it. The blood of Jesus is my only prayer. And I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. You just can't be too sure about most things in this life, like the weather, your health, your job and your wealth, or that folks will do what's right. But in this world of uncertainty, on one thing I rely. I'm sure about my heavenly home. I've got a mansion in the sky. Well, I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. There's just no fear nor doubt, and there's no worry, and there's no care. You see, it's not that I deserve it. The blood of Jesus is my only prayer. And I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. Now in this troubled world today, I'm glad to know I'm safe. It's not a hope so, a think so, a maybe so thing. My debt, it's fully paid. Someday I'll turn up and listen here, but I'll be with God's dear Son. It's not because of what I do, but what He's already done. Well, I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. There's just no fear, no doubt, there's no worry, and there's no care. You see, it's not that I deserve it. The blood of Jesus is my only prayer. And I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there. You see, it's not that I deserve it. The blood of Jesus is my only prayer. And I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were already there.
Well, heaven is going to be a wonderful place, amen? I think we're probably going to enjoy it just a little bit, even more than this side of heaven. One day, this old song says, I'll be standing in the presence of my King.
Today I found myself in a most holy place. All at once I was standing face to face with someone I knew so well, yet I had never seen. I was standing in the presence of the King. Standing in the presence of the King. My worldly cares have slipped beneath my feet. Mortal man could never write the song that my heart sings while I'm standing in the presence of the King. Through His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, with a joyous heart I begin to sing. For at last I'm standing where He says that I could be. I'm standing in the presence of the King. Standing in the presence of our King, worldly cares have slipped beneath my feet. Mortal man could never write the song that my heart sings while I'm standing in the presence of the King. Yes, I'm standing in the presence of the King. The worldly cares have slipped beneath my feet. Mortal man could never write the song that my heart sings while I'm standing in the presence of the King. Thank God I'm standing in the presence of our King.
Do the other two now. And Rob, if I knew what they were, I'd be ready to sing. Thank you. One day I'll memorize all of them. Find it here.
They say that heaven's pretty, but living here is too. But if they said that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home, going home, where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look, you'll see that homesick feeling in my eyes. I'm going home, headed home, where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve Him gladly, sing Him all these songs. I'm here, not for long. When I'm feeling lonely, if I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. I'm headed home, headed home, where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve Him gladly, sing Him all these songs. I'm here, it's not for long. One day I may be sleeping and death knocks on my door, but I'll awake and find that I'm not homesick anymore. I've made it home, finally home, where I belong. Where I belong.
Well, it will be a great day when we get to heaven. I think
The ship was in danger on the stormy deep. They called for the master to wake from his sleep. With three little words, he commanded the waves. With wonder they watched him, and they began to say, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that the winds and the sea, and now you and me, should obey him? What manner of man? I'll face many dangers on the speed of life. I hope I'll remember what they learned on that night. That if I live for Jesus, I'll finish my trip. I won't have to fear if the Lord is on my ship. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that the wind and the sea, and how you and me, should obey him? What manner of man? What manner of man? What manner of man?
Well, let me say thanks to those that worked and prayed and made a great day today, a great day of success. We thank the Lord for that. Now, let me encourage you, if you had a visitor come, you need to follow up with them this week. All right? They've heard the gospel, and now you have an opportunity to talk to them and say, "Hey, we're glad you came to church. What did you think of the message? Did it work in your heart? Can I help you with that? Can I answer any questions you might have about the Bible, about church, about the Lord Jesus Christ?" All right? So do that. We will be following up as well. But listen, the best person to win them to the Lord is you. Because you already know them and they already trust you, or they wouldn't have come to church with you this morning. Now, don't despair if you invited some people here, probably invited 100 people that didn't come. That's all right. You planted a seed, and just keep praying for them. Keep inviting. Keep working. And maybe one day we'll see them come. We'll see them saved. So keep working. But thank you so much for those that worked and prayed at inviting. Thank you for those that helped with all the food and the setup in the gymnasium. We appreciate that so much. It takes a lot of work to make all those things come together. So thank you. And thank you for the choir. What a great song this morning. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. And what a great reminder. We thank you so much for that song. Well, let's have another favorite tonight. We have another anniversary this week, 58 years, the Tyrrells. So congratulations. What's your favorite hymn? Caught him off guard, didn't I? That's 58 years right there. Wow. 196. 196. Rejoice in the Lord. That's a great song. 196. Let's sing it together.
God.
Oh,
And Bonnie, that's right, 44 years. What's your favorite hymn? Well, hey, that's appropriate. 444. Happy anniversary. Congratulations. What day is that now? Friday? Yes? Okay. All right, 444. I've got a mansion, 444.
I'm
John, you think you're the youngest? I see a little guy sitting behind you. Looks younger than you. Does he have a favorite song? Him? No? Jesus Loves Me. All right, let's do that. Jesus, is it 198? It is? You don't know? Well, if you don't know, I don't know. I think it is. Let me just check. No, it's not. We know the first verse. Let's sing that, all right? Jesus Loves Me. We'll have our preacher come tonight. Let's sing it together. thankful again for Pastor Strachan. And maybe you've heard this before. Many years ago when I was in high school, that's been a long time ago, 25 years ago, I guess. I was in my last year of high school. And I was in the library, and I had already decided what I was doing with my life, and I'd gone to a college interview and got accepted and all that. And Pastor Strachan came in and talked to me, and he said, "What does the Lord want?" I hadn't really ever thought about that, to be honest with you. And so he spent some time encouraging me to consider the Lord's will first and prayed with me that day. And it wasn't long after that we went to the Bill Rice Ranch, and God called me under the preaching of Jim Shetler. We were just talking about him the other night. And called me into full-time ministry. And so I'm so thankful for his influence in my life. He was our youth pastor for several years and impacted many young people at Bethel Baptist Church. And we were thankful so much for his ministry in our lives. Pastor, you come preach to us.
Well, I'm glad that worked for your pastor. I'm telling myself that. I'm still trying to figure it out. But one day we'll get there. That's a little joke, by the way. One way or the other. Take your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number... let's go to 1 Samuel 20, and then we'll come to 2 Samuel 9 this evening. Thank you for being willing to come back out Sunday evening. I appreciate that. And I've got a confession to make. How many of you heard during my preaching this morning some phone going off? Okay, it was me. I forgot one thing in this technical age. Even though, of course, my phone is from the U.S. and you come up and I turn all the data and all of that stuff off, I forgot that once I hook up to the Wi-Fi in here that it still lets my text to be alert. And so what you heard was my assistant down there texting me some stuff from this morning. And so as much as you were shocked, you should have felt it up here. I thought my pacemaker was going off or something. So anyway, that happened to me once while preaching, and we try to encourage people at home, you know, remember we put a slide up, don't forget to silent your phone, and of course one night I was preaching way down there, and I have no idea who it was, but they phoned, and I forgot to turn it off, but Lord gave me a Holy Spirit unction, because I just started to yell when I was preaching, like I was getting, you know, and I said, "Now look down at your Bible at this verse," and as they all looked down, I whipped it out of my coat and stuck it in underneath the pulpit. So the Lord gives you an unction when you need it. But anyway, that was me. I apologize, and shame on me. It is silence tonight. There you go. Good to see you all again, and it's good to see new faces, and it's good to see a lot of you getting older faces. Amen? And some things never change. I think Gene has been in that organ pit for 97 years. I'm telling you. She is definitely going to have to be raptured out of there. But... wow. And then I was talking today to the family and some and hearing that Wilf Broughton this year is going to turn 100 next year. Isn't that incredible? I'm telling you what. So, and I don't think Leroy's far behind him, wherever he's at tonight. There you go. But it's always good to come home. We appreciate the opportunity. Enjoyed this morning and the fellowship. And I guess we'll preach a little bit tonight. I'm going to hit the road right after, so I won't be too long tonight. And all the people said, that's where you go, amen. All right, good stuff. All right, you're in Samuel, 1 Samuel 20. I want to start by a little bit of an illustration, because I think there's so much we can learn from the characters of the Word of God and from their lives. And sometimes it's fun just to read the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever done this. It's somewhat of a method of Bible study of just pulling a certain person out of the Bible and then just studying that individual through the Scripture. We just did that on a Wednesday night series at the home church there in Ohio and preached on the life of Peter. And we just started with him as a disciple and we followed him through the Gospels and we followed him right. It took about 13 weeks of study. But what an incredible study to just look at the specific life of a man or a woman and look at their characteristics and some of the stories around their life. It's quite an incredible study. And we're going to look at that in individual tonight. And I think it's good to do that. You may think I'm a little crazy, but sometimes when I travel or whatever, and you ever have one of those proverbial layovers in airport, do you ever sometimes just sit and watch people? Can I tell you tonight that people are weird? All right? I'm just going to be honest with you. People, I mean, if you ever want to see it, just sit in an airport and you'll see weird people. I mean, hairdos, hairstyles, different tattoos, body shapes and sizes. Some that you can tell they think, boy, there's something, and others they're not something. And it's just fun to watch and so on. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it's just fun to watch people. People are weird. Did I tell you that? They can be really weird. My kids got me on this, and I think if I'm not mistaken, instead of going to the airport sometimes, they had something on this wonderful tool today of the internet, something about watching people at Walmart. And so we live in a town about the same size as Simcoe, and sometimes we'll go to Walmart, and I got to admit, the older I get, the less I really enjoy shopping. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to confess to you today, I'm to the point where I really hate it. I don't like to go shopping anywhere. But the odd time when I get dragged to Walmart, and they go, I'll sit and just watch people. And can I tell you this? People are weird. They really are. This morning, there was one of those weird persons at the Walmart here in Simcoe. And the reason I know is because I was him. I tell you, I got up this morning and got ready to go and showered up and cleaned up. And I'm going to be, again, I'm confession night. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, I'll go to pick the clothes I think I'm going to wear. And then when I go back to pick, they're all different. Now, I don't know who does that. But somehow she comes in and says, you're not wearing that, and you're not wearing, and that doesn't match that, and you're going to wear. So I, yes, dear, yes, dear. What? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, your royal hiney. All that. Here we go. So anyway, I did that. But I got up this morning, and I had on these black socks. I said, I can't wear black socks with this. So I went over to Walmart this morning real early and jumped in there and got a pair of cheap socks that I hope would match. And this guy gets into his car, and he takes his shoes off, and he takes his socks off, and he's trying to get, you know, do you ever realize when you buy clothes, they put it together that you can't get it apart? You ever found that out? Gentlemen, you ever bought a new shirt, and it's in a package, and you go to undo that package, and there's 17,000 pins, and you usually miss one, and you find it out later in the day when you're wearing the shirt. And they got tabs on the collar and things under the collar, and you're pulling them apart. Well, this pair of socks had this little thing through it at the bottom of the top. I couldn't get that thing bit, snapped, to get those socks apart. So here I am sitting in the car in my front with a suit on. I got no shoes, no socks on. I already took them off. I said, well, I know in my back seat, in my toiletry bag, I have a little pair of scissors. So I jump out of the car, no socks, no shoes. I'm standing there, and it's early in the morning. And I'm digging through. I finally get them, and I get back out, and I feel, do you ever got a feeling somebody's looking at you? And I turn, and I look, and here is this lady just standing here like this. And I looked over to her, and I honestly didn't. I said, Lord, she's going to end up at church this morning. And I just didn't say a thing. I just, hello, and turned around, got back in my car, and put my new socks on after I got them all done. But I just feel that people are weird. And I was one of them today. People do funny things. People say funny things. We can learn what not to do and what to do from people. I want to teach you a lesson tonight from the Word of God on a specific individual and what we can learn and apply to our Christian life. All right? Let's look at 1 Samuel 20. I want to give you a little background, then we're going to get into 2 Samuel chapter number 9. In 1 Samuel chapter number 20, David, King David, is dealing with a very good friend named Jonathan. And they're talking together and they're working together and they're promising one another how they're going to be the best of friends. Friend, let me say to you today, there's nothing weird about the relationship and the friendship of David and Jonathan. They were good friends. And that's a wonderful thing. And they promised one another that they were going to encourage one another and love one another in the Lord and help each other. And Jonathan was protecting David from his father. And he says, I want you to remember me for my goodness to you, and I want you to remember my family. And so we pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And if you would, look what it says in verse number 15. But also, this is Jonathan speaking, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Let me say to you, Jonathan just said, I'm going to protect you, David. You're my best friend. We have been good friends through the years. And I want you to just remember, after my father is gone, after I am even gone, if you're still the king of Israel, that you will just do good to my family for the rest of their life. And David said, I promise you, I'm going to do that. With that in mind, in that basis, if you would, now go to 2 Samuel. Actually, let's go to chapter number 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Some time had passed, and David again rehearses in his mind what he had promised and was brought to remembrance, I believe, by the Spirit of God, of what was to take place. But just as a little interlude, I want you to read one verse in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. Jonathan's son Saul had a son that was lame at his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came to Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now go over, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter number 9, and we'll pick up our story with that as a background to this simple message, the message of Mephibosheth. The message of Mephibosheth. Now, as I said, and we've just read, previous to 2 Samuel 9, David was beginning his main control as the king of Judah. In chapter number 7, if you read back, he was in a humble and contrite spirit before God. In 2 Samuel 8, David, again, we read about his war conquering, his military buildup, his maneuvers, his governmental setup. And we come now to chapter number 9, and David remembers this promise he made to Jonathan. Verse number 1. David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodeber. And the king said, and King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodeber. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba and 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a younger son. His name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, was lame on both his feet. What an incredible story. And so David brings in Mephibosheth, this ancestor of Saul, this grandson, the son of Jonathan, and he encourages him to leave his home and come to Jerusalem to meet the king. He obeys him, and he is blessed because he is obedient to the king. Listen to this tonight. He is blessed because he is obedient to the king. 3 points I want you to see with me tonight concerning this story. Number one, I want you to notice this. Our position before God, our king, as a sinner. Notice what the Bible said, if you would. Mephibosheth comes before his earthly king and says, what is thy servant? Listen to this, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I. That's a very humble statement. And Mephibosheth, even though he was the lineage of King Saul, still looked upon himself as nothing in the eyes of from King David as possibly a dead dog. Now, I don't know about you, but I understand the principle here in Israel. Because dogs in those days, as they are in many mission countries today, they're scavenger dogs. They're not the little domesticated dogs that we have in our homes today. We have a dog. I was telling somebody this morning, I think Turnowski's grandson is Liam. Is that right? Our dog's name is Liam. He was so happy to find that out. Made him so glad. The stupidest decision, I made a lot of dumb decisions in life, I'll be honest with you. I hope I made some good ones. I probably made a lot of dumb. But one of the dumbest I ever made was 5 years ago getting another dog. All right? We had a little Shih Tzu Maltese. His name was Cody. Now, he was a good dog. I like Cody. He was all right. And about 11 years of age, that was it. He was done. I actually did shed a little tear for that dog. I'm going to be honest about it. Well, one day we were down, as we call it, down in our area of Amish country. How many have been to Amish country down there in Ohio? All right. It's Sugar Creek, Wilmot, Berlin, all that area. Well, I did a stupid thing one day. I took my wife and my youngest daughter to a place where they raise little dogs. And needless to say, 5 years ago, I made this one of the stupidest decisions I ever made. I got another dog. And Liam entered into our world, another little Shih Tzu Maltese, and okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm getting old because I really don't have time for him anymore. Everything, it's not cute anymore. It's a pain. All right? But we have our little domestic dog. And I got to admit, I these people today that I know, I think it's good to like your dog, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think, do you think with me today, some of them go a little overboard? I'm just saying. You know, when I see people kissing their dog, I'm sorry, that just, you know, but we have our little, I'm driving out, we have our domesticated dogs. That's what we understand. This is not what he's talking about here. I've been on quite a few missions trips, and when we were in Arequipa, Peru, at a missions trip and so on, dogs run wild there, and they're just scavenger dogs. They don't belong to anybody. They're in the streets, and they're all over the place, and they're ugly, scroungy, scavenger-type dogs. This is what Mephibosheth is dealing with here. Listen to what he says. He says, "How can you, King David, look upon me? I'm just a dead dog." We look upon that and say, well, he's not very high opinion of himself. I think he probably felt that way because of the way King Saul treated him, and he probably knew about it. I think he probably felt that way because he was lame in his feet and he knew that he couldn't do much, and he probably looked upon himself as not worth anything. But he comes before his king and he tells him what he thinks about himself. Well, friends, I'm not saying that we ought to take that attitude, so to speak, but I am saying this. Do you realize that before the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, we were, if we aren't saved today, and if we are, we thank God for His salvation, but we are dead in sin. Without Christ, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 1, "To the saved, you who have quickened," that means made alive, thank God, "but listen, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh." I'm just trying to tell you today, folks, don't ever forget, outside of the grace and the mercy and the goodness of the King of Kings, we are dead in our trespasses, our sins. We are as dead dogs. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. Nothing. If we're not careful as humans, we can get into our humanistic philosophy of society and start to think, we're something. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Like the fool that said in the Bible, "Look at the barns I have built. I know what I'll do. I'll just tear them down and bigger barns. Look at what I've accomplished." Folks, we've done nothing without the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. You're saved by His grace. You're kept by His grace. One day you'll be in heaven by His grace. You breathe by His grace. You eat by His grace. Your food, your supply, your home, your car, everything you are, everything you have is all because of the grace of the King of Kings. The very breath we're breathing right now is because of God's goodness and grace. I think it's just a good reminder to help us remember that our position before the King of Kings, even though I realize today most of us sitting here tonight are saved sinners, remember, without Christ, we are nothing. We are nothing. God, help us never to forget that we should at least have the attitude of saying, Lord, God, King of Kings, without You, I'm just like a dead dog. It's not being mean, folks. It's just being real. And can I tell you today, there's thousands of people in Simcoe and the surrounding area today that before the King of Kings and God Almighty, without Christ, they are dead in their trespasses and sins. And they will never see eternity in heaven unless they come to the King of Kings and submit to His authority and accept His salvation. Let's never forget our position before God as the King, as what we were, as sinners without a Savior. I thank God I'm saved today, but you know what? Sometimes it's good just to remember how good God has been to us. And to remember that, sometimes we've got to say, Lord, I am nothing without You. Mephibosheth comes to King David and he says, King, I can't believe I'm even here. Behold thy servant. But why are you so interested? Why would you even look on a dead dog as I am? What an incredible state. But notice secondly this. I want you to see our position before God through Jesus Christ. And notice the difference that takes place in the life of Mephibosheth. In verse number 11, the Bible says, Ziba said to the king, according to all the Lord, the king hath commanded the servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table, listen to this, as one of the king's sons. I think one of the most incredible things is in our world, in our society today, is what we call adoption. It's an incredible thing that a husband, a wife, a father, a mother would be so willing to take a child that in many cases would have no family, no home, no future, and be willing to say, I will take that child in and I will make that child as one of mine. That's an incredible thing. I still believe, and we preach again, the goodness, the strength, the power of adoption. Many people have done it in our church. Many people, I'm sure, have done it here. It's a wonderful thing if God calls you to do it. I want you to understand this. Because of what King did for Mephibosheth, listen, the Bible says he allowed him to eat at the king's table with all the rights and privileges of his son. King David essentially adopted the child of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, and said, you are going to be just like one of mine. In Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 5, God says, this is why I save, this is why I love, this is why I adopt, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoptions of sons. Galatians 4 and verse number 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Folks, I thank God that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. You ought to do. Thank God for His blessings on this side of heaven. But boy, I sure hope you thank God for the blessings that are to come. I'd sure rather go to heaven than end up in hell. Amen? I'd sure be more glad to meet a Savior and all that waits before me. All because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to bring me in and adopt me as a child of God. Sometimes I think as Christians, we forget the joy, the thrill. We forget to have a thankful heart for our adoption through salvation into the family of God. Still one of my favorite choruses, and it's an old one. It's been around forever. We used to sing it back here. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. What a great family to belong to. I believe the family of God is to be just a little bit of heaven on earth. I thank God that we can come and worship together and serve together with the family of God. I thank God that the Lord gives us not only our human family, and thank God if our children get saved and our grandchildren get saved. What a wonderful thing it is to have a Christian home and a Christian family. I think that's the greatest institution in this world. But second to that is the New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, where we come together as a local church family and we worship together and we serve together and we enjoy the fellowship of God together, and we're excited and thrilled about the things of Christ, not only now but also one day to come. At least can I say that's the way it should be. I don't think the Lord ever wanted for us as a family of God to just endure. I think He wants us to enjoy. Again, folks, I just have a sneaking suspicion. We're going to see this in just a little bit. I think heaven is going to be a pretty good place. Matter of fact, some of you are even going to smile in heaven. I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but it's actually going to happen. I think you're going to walk around once in a while and you're going to look and say, boy, this ain't too bad after all. That's pretty good. Maybe I should have enjoyed a little bit of it on the other side, but oh well, what can I do now? Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. But you know what? We can still have a bit of it right now on this side of heaven. God's just not putting everything on hold and saying, well, live miserable and don't enjoy your Christian life till you finally get here. I believe He wants us to enjoy it now. And so He reminds us, listen, through your salvation, you have been adopted into the family of God. You are as one of the King's children. That's good stuff. Because of that, notice thirdly this, our position for all eternity. Listen to what he says in verse number 13. So Mephibosheth, listen to this now, dwelt in Jerusalem. But earlier in the story, in chapter number 9, David met an inquisition to find out where he was, and he found this servant Ziba, and they said, where is this Mephibosheth? He said, he's back in Lodebar. That was his hometown. That's where he was living. He was brought to the king in Jerusalem and stood before him. And his position changed. He became one of the king's sons. He was adopted into the king's family. And with that adoption came a different locale. Folks, I'm just going to be honest tonight. I thank God salvation through Jesus Christ moves us from Lodebar, or our earthly home, to our heavenly. And that's exactly what took place with Mephibosheth. He was moved and transported to where? The Bible says in verse 13, he dwelt in Jerusalem. Thank God one day, as I said this morning, whether it be through the undertaker or the upper taker, you will move from your earthly cottage to your heavenly mansion. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Friend, I want to remind you, we have a prepared place in a prepared city by a king who's making everything right. It's waiting. It's being prepared. John 14, 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know what it was like in Lodebar, but I know what it was like in Jerusalem because you can read about it in the Word of God. And he was there at the palace of Jerusalem and lived with the king. He enjoyed all of what the king had and all of what the king could offer him. I imagine it was an incredible change, and I got to believe with all my heart that Mephibosheth probably enjoyed it. Can I say that's exactly what happens when we get saved? And thank God for it. Our position in Christ gives us a different position for all eternity. Take your Bibles for just a moment and go to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. One of the things I like to say often is I thank God I've read the back of the book and we win. We win. And here's part of the winning. Revelation chapter number 22, and look at verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. That's pretty cool. I don't know what that's all about, but I think we're going to enjoy that. Not only you, but I like fresh fruit. It's good stuff. Can you imagine just every month going? You say, well, how's that all going to work? I don't know. I'm not really worried about it. I think the Lord can handle it. It's just going to be good. Hey, listen, follow here. It just gets gooder. Verse number 3, listen to this. There shall be no more curse. If you didn't know this, folks, listen to me. This earthly world is cursed. Go back and read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. This earthly world is cursed. And it's a thing called sin. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding this earthly world and its curse is getting worse and worse and worse. But heaven proclaims this, there will be no more curse in heaven. In the New Jerusalem, there will be no more curse. That's pretty good stuff. You know what that means? You're not going to have to deal with the old sin nature anymore. You're not going to have to be tempted and tested and tried. The old flesh is not going to be there. Carnality is not going to be there. It's just going to be good things with God. Pure, holy, right. We're not even going to be tempted anymore to sin because there'll be no more curse in heaven. Giddy up. To think that I won't have to battle that old enemy anymore. But all will be pure and right. No more curse. The throne of God, look at verse number 3, and the Lamb shall be in it. Listen to this. And His servants shall serve Him. What am I going to do in heaven, preacher? You're going to serve Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to do. You say, oh man. What do you mean, old man? Is there anything greater you can do than serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Well, you better like it because that's what you're going to do. But your thinking will be all renewed because the curse will be removed. I know this is going to be hard to believe, but you know what? You're going to enjoy serving Jesus Christ. It won't be a task. It won't be a turmoil. And let's be honest, we're all earthly humans sometimes. I can say honestly, most of the time I enjoy serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's times when I'm, as my dad used to say, church work would be great if it wasn't for people. And sometimes, did I say it earlier, people can just be weird. There'll be no more curse up there. And so in perfectness, holy perfectness, we will serve Jesus Christ. You're going to get up Sunday morning in heaven and it's going to be cool to go to church because King Jesus is going to be the pastor and He's going to rule and reign supreme and we're all going to be perfect, mature in the things of Christ and we're going to serve Him without any problem, with any doubt, with any fear. It's going to be incredible to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But I admit sometimes it's hard on this side of heaven. I'll be honest with you, sometimes, and I don't know what it was like here this winter. I'm sure it was just like down there. We had the last 2-3 winters have been brutal. And I'm saying that to say there's some February morning, Sunday morning, I wake up at 5:30-ish or so, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have a real jump in my step. Oh, yippee, let's go to church. You know? And to know when we get there, there's 6 inches of snow. I don't know about here, but you know down there it always snows Saturday night. Always. And to think about, okay, I got the plow guy I got to get in. I got to get the salt all down. We got to, you know, and all that. Oh, yippee. Thank God that'll all be done away. By the way, there's going to be no snow in heaven because that's part of the curse. I hope. His servants shall serve Him. Listen, read on. Verse number 4. And they shall see His face. Wow. Face to face. With Christ my Savior. Folks, this isn't some fable. One day you're going to see Jesus face to face. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be something else. I think of that message this morning we preached on blind Bartimaeus. When you think about it, I believe the first person he saw when he was healed with Jesus. Thank God when you are fully healed spiritually and you're with the Lord in heaven, you're going to look on His face. It's going to be incredible. They shall see His face. Listen to this. Here's one tattoo I won't mind. His name shall be on my forehead. Jesus. I'm one of His. All that's saying is I'm a marked child of God forever. That's all right. Look at verse number 5. There shall be no night there. No need of a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Listen to this. And they shall reign with Him for a few days. Oh, sorry, they shall reign with Him for a couple of years. Now, this can blow our mind, folks, because I try to figure out how long is forever. It's forever. Yeah, but how long is that? Well, it's forever. That's hard, isn't it? Because we are a people of time. We comprehend everything in time allotment. Got to be at work at this time, got to quit at this time, got to be at the meeting at this time, got to be at church at this time, got to go home at this time, school starts at this time. Everything we have, got to be in bed at this time, got to get up at this time. We are so allotted by time structure. We will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Now let me explain that to you in the Greek, because I know it's a little hard. That means in the Greek, forever. never stops. I don't know about you, but if I had to be anywhere forever, I'm thanking God it's going to be heaven. Especially the way we're describing it here in Revelation chapter number 22. So he said unto John, he said, these sayings, listen to this, look at verse number 6, they are faithful and true. Folks, that means there's no doubt, there's no questioning. This is from the voice of Jesus Christ Himself. John, write it down this way, this is going to happen. I am a faithful God, these words are true, don't doubt it. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants of things which must shortly be done. And then He said this, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And that's what he said, worship God. He said, don't worship me, worship God. And he saith unto me, now listen, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for time is at hand. In other words, let it be known, John, this needs to be preached. This needs to be told. It's faithful, it's true, it's going to happen. Heaven is real. Thank God if you're a child of God, one day it's going to be your eternal home. All these things will come to pass. Now here's the question. Where are you? Where are you? Let me ask you this evening, are you still in sin, dead spiritually? Just like Mephibosheth considered him before King David? Are you dead spiritually, or have you the life of Jesus Christ through salvation? Let me ask you, are you still living in Lodebar? Or are you living in Jerusalem? Spiritually speaking, the heavenly. Folks, are you looking forward to the return of Christ? Is there something in your heart that excites you about heaven? My friend, what David did for Mephibosheth, Jesus Christ has done for us. The only difference is it's spiritual. And He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, and He is ready to take you in and save you, and He is ready to move you to the heavenly, and He is ready to give you a new position, saved, sanctified, and ready for the Lord to come again, so we can return to our heavenly home and be with Christ forever in the New Jerusalem. What an incredible story. But let me ask you again, are you there? What is your position? The message of Mephibosheth is this. God is gracious, God is good, and God is great. Do you know Him today? The choice of all three of these things is up to you. To know His grace, to know His goodness, and to know one day our eternal home in heaven. Father, we love You tonight and we thank You for Your Word. Bless it to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would consider this story, again, really a type from the Old Testament, concerning what we have in Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here tonight. Say, preacher, I don't know, again, that I'm a child of God. I don't know that I've been adopted into the family of God like Mephibosheth was with King David. But tonight, I'm concerned about my eternal destiny. Friends, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope of heaven. Tonight, I'm not sure, but I'm concerned. Preacher, would you pray for me? Raise your hand real quick, would you, and put it right back down. Is there any? You're here tonight, you're saved, and you know it. But listen, are you enjoying all that God has for you as a child of God, as an adopted child in the King's family? There's no doubt, you can't tell me that there wasn't a massive change in Mephibosheth's life when he moved to Jerusalem and lived with the King. Now let me ask you, has there been a change? Are you enjoying all that the Lord wants to give you as an adopted child of God? I don't believe, folks, He wants us to be miserable as Christians. He wants us to enjoy the blessings and the goodness of God. I'm not saying that we won't have our bumps and our hurdles and our trials. We're still on the wrong side of heaven. But overall, God wants us to be blessed and enjoy. Tonight you'd say, I'm saved. I know that. But I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, and because of that, I'm not enjoying my heavenly relationship like I should. God has spoke to my heart tonight. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand real quick around the auditorium tonight? God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Appreciate those hands. I want that goodness of God. I want the joy of the Lord. I want to be in that right position. Anybody else tonight? Let's all stand together, if you would. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to sing the song of invitation. If you're not saved tonight, you've not been an adopted child of God, come. Maybe tonight, Christian, you need to come and say, Lord, restore to me the joy of Thy salvation. Let me enjoy again my walk with God afresh and anew. That's what God wants. If God has spoke to your heart, whatever your need is, we sing this song. You come on right now as we sing. Would you come? Oh, what a great old hymn, Face to Face. I'm going to sing one more verse. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Would you come? Don't let this earthly life go by without enjoying your salvation in Christ. God, speak to your heart. Would you come?
Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see.
Amen. Well, good day today. We're glad that you were here. I've sent Pastor Strack a note to shake hands. And if you'd like to get a CD, he's only got about five left, so make sure you get one from him. Now, let's do this. I think it'll be okay with him. If you want one and he's out, just go ahead and pay him for it. And then just come tell me after, because I know a guy. All right? And we can get you one. And I have a copy, and he told me they're just copies anyway. He'll let me copy those. And so if you'll pay him ahead, I'll make sure you get a copy. All right, we'll do that. So, and we'll just do it on the honor system. So if you just pay him, you can tell me, and we'll make that happen for you. All right. Thank you for those that helped at the Delhi Fall Fest. I know some got drowned yesterday, and I appreciate you sticking it out as long as you did. And the Coburn's sacrifice being here this morning so that they could take care of it. Handed out, he said, about 300 pieces of literature, I guess, over 250, and met a lot of people and talked to a lot of families and invited them to church. And so we appreciate that so much. But now, Norfolk County Fair is coming up. Sign up sheets out in the hallway if you'd like to be a part of that. Sign up for a shift, and you're more than welcome to do that. That gets you in the fair for free if that's any incentive, and allows you to walk around for a few hours after you're done your shift or even before you start your shift. All right. But it's a great tool for us, I think personally it's a great tool for our church for training, because we get out of our comfort zone and talk to a lot of people in a real short time, and it's a great training tool. So if you're nervous about going door to door or whatever, they come to you at the fair, because there's always kids looking for free stuff, and mom and dad's with them, and we can talk to them and share the gospel with them. And so make sure you sign up for that if you'd like to be a part of that. All right, let's bless the blessing on the food. Please stay. We have so much variety tonight. There's at least one thing that'll make you happy. All right, so let's have a word of prayer and ask the blessing on the food. Please just head over to the gym and have a coffee and a butter tart or something like that. And there's some fruit there if you're afraid of the baking and baked goods and such, but lots of things there. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, again, for the good day in the house of the Lord. Thank you for our friend, Pastor Strachan, and ministering to us today. We pray you bless him as he drives home tonight in the dark. I pray that you give him a safe journey and bless his time tomorrow with family. We pray that you'd bless the church, Calvary Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio. We thank you for it. And we thank you for the work that is being accomplished there and the souls that are being saved. Father, bless us here at Bethel Baptist Church. May we follow up on those that visited today. May we see a great harvest of souls in the weeks and months to come. Father, bless us, we pray, and thank you for this food that's been prepared. Bless it to our bodies and our fellowship. May it be sweet. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Fellowship as long as you like. One more thing, folks, I forgot. Don't forget our little brown boxes out there if you'd like to be an encouragement.
Brother Stratton.